30 years ago, for the very first time, a group of players gathered to pray after an NFL game. And you know what happened? We're going to tell you today. Hi, I'm Stuart Shepherd, and this is First Liberty Live. And before we get started, I just want to encourage you, if you haven't already, look for the link underneath this video to subscribe to our videos. We'll send you a reminder each time we have a new episode up, and that way you won't miss a thing. And we want to have you as part of this for every episode. So again, click on that link below and subscribe. Hey, we are honored to have with us one of the players who took part in that very first prayer huddle in December of 1990. Brent Jones spent 11 years as a very successful tight end for the San Francisco 49ers, including three Super Bowl victories, and he's here with us today. Hi, Brent.
Stuart, great to be on today.
I am so thankful that you're here. First, we've got to talk a little football. I know you've told this story a bazillion times, but we're going to do it anyway. Among the many of highlights of your career, and there were a lot, was being on the receiving end of a touchdown pass from Joe Montana in Super Bowl 24. Take us back to that moment. What was it like?
Well, you know, Stuart, growing up as a young man, you always have those dreams of playing in an NBA championship or a World Series or a Super Bowl, and you watch them on TV and you see what it's like, and then to actually go out on the field in a game, the biggest stage in the sports world, and to be able to catch a touchdown pass was spectacular. I was so excited. Of course, I have that ball still at my home today, and it was just such an amazing feeling. What a great blessing it was. And even better, we went on to win the game 55-10. So I can say I caught the winning touchdown that gave us 14 points, but it really wasn't like that.
Yeah, as a Broncos fan, I've been meaning to talk to you about that game because I'm still a little hacked off about that, but it's okay. You can still be our guest today. I'll let you do that.
Well, thank you.
Hey, here's what impresses me, because I've gotten to spend a little bit of time with some NFL players along the way, and people think about that moment, and they think about what it's like to be in that moment and have that charge, that thrill of that kind of success. But man, does it ever take a lot of devotion, commitment, time, and effort to attain that level of sport. Tell me about that.
You know, it's really, Stuart, a tremendous amount of focus, intensity. It's full-time, 24/7, 12 months a year. And you know, it's not just the player. It's the player's families as well that go through it. My wife, Dana, was an amazing support system. Took so many things off my plate so I could solely focus on the football side of it. But the amount of time studying, preparing, dealing with injuries, taking care of your health, understanding the dynamics around specific game plans that can change week to week, it really is a huge commitment. And much more goes into it than just being a great athlete, walking on the field and going, hey, let's play a game.
And here's what impresses me even more, because this is not a sports broadcast that you're on right now. You know, we're a religious liberty law firm. That's exclusively what we do. And what impresses me about your story is there was an even higher commitment for you. What was it like being a Christian in the NFL back in the late 80s, early 90s?
Well, you know, Stuart, it's amazing to be a young Christian, became a Christian in high school, and to just watch what God did in my life and allowed me to get to that level of play and then be a part in the National Football League. And this was back when being a Christian in pro sports was not a cool thing at all. And being in the locker room, you really had to walk your talk, so to say, because you were under a microscope as a Christ follower. And I remember thinking back that the guys that I really looked up to at those times, because this was back when people would say, oh, you know, Christians are soft, or they're not intense, or they don't play hard, or they give up, or they don't really put 100% into their, you know, toughness on the field and all those things. There were two Christians in the NFL at that time that I recall were real leaders. One was Reggie White and the other was Mike Singletary. Huh. And darn if you were going to say they weren't tough or committed or all in to win all the time. And they took a stand for Christ way back in the 80s and really were guys that players on every team looked up to, not only as players, but as men off the field.
So now that we're back in that mindset and understand where you were at that time, let's go back to that evening of December 3rd, 1990, the night you helped pave the way for players to pray after the game. It's the second highest rated Monday night football game of all time. You've got the 10-1 Giants versus the 10-1 49ers at Candlestick Park. Frank Gifford and Al Michaels are making the call. And your team won, I should point out, 7-3. The game just ended. Then what did you do?
Well, you know, we had talked all week. Our Bible study leader on the team, Pat Ritchie, had connected with the Giants chaplain, and he said, we're going to do something. They knew it was going to be a highly watched game, a big battle of two rivals.
And some people called it Super Bowl Junior even.
You know what? It eventually was, because we played in the NFC Championship that year, and we ended up fumbling the game away in the last few minutes. But we knew it was going to be a huge Monday night. In fact, both teams were so focused on the game, we were both 10-0 the week before, and we both lost. And so here we come into the game. Everybody's ready. And we had talked all week about praying on the 50-yard line at the end of the game with the other team. This was not something that happened at all. In fact, even just shaking hands after a game back then was brief. You know, you see guys loitering on the field, exchanging jerseys, slapping each other on the back nowadays.
But not then.
That was not a thing. You stuck with your own team. Maybe do a quick handshake, congratulations, you know, showing sportsmanship. That was it. So there was a lot of nervousness and a lot of fear, to be quite honest, about kneeling and praying with the other team. But we just felt like it was so significant, being Christians and being able to let people know that there was something more important than just sports in our lives. And so the game gets over. It's an intense, crazy defensive struggle. And we're slowly walking out onto the field. There's, you know, five or six of the guys in the Bible study, one or two other guys that maybe would show up. And all of a sudden, there's a melee on the 50-yard line after the final whistle.
Yeah.
And we all looked around and we're like, what the heck? Now what are we going to do? Maybe this wasn't a good idea, maybe. And we kind of wandered down the field to about the 30-yard line. And we were looking for the New York Giants. We couldn't find them. And we said, you know what? Let's kneel down and pray ourselves. You can see the picture behind my right shoulder. It's of our 49er team praying. Literally 1 second after that picture was taken, a couple of New York Giants came flying into the huddle. We've stood up, moved around, grabbed hands, and prayed, and thanked God for the opportunity to play pro football, to be able to glorify Him and Jesus at that point in time for the very, very first time ever. And
the NFL was not about it. The NFL was not pleased. I hear they left you a note.
The NFL, hey, we are glad people were paying attention. There was a note in my locker on the following Wednesday, and all the guys, probably in everybody's locker actually, yeah, that said, if you pray after the game with the opposing team, you're going to be fined $25,000.
Which, and especially at that time, that's a lot of cash.
Yeah. And, you know, I was probably making, you know, I'll throw this out there, probably $125,000. So that actually mattered to most of us. It wasn't today's yeah, free agency days.
Yeah.
And so, man, we took a couple of deep breaths. There were some discussions with some of the other Christians around the league. Subsequently, I ended up talking to Reggie White on the phone. He wanted to know what we were doing, why we were doing it. And he said the Eagles are going to do it. I know the Giants said they're going to keep doing it. The Bears want to do it. And so, you know, that collective strength, that unity, that bond of brothers in Christ said, hey, let's keep this going. And so we did it the next game, and a few other teams did too.
Did you get fined?
We did not get fined, and the NFL came back at the time that they really didn't want to open up Pandora's box here. And so – the next letter in our locker was, we're going to fine your owner $1 million.
Wow.
If you guys pray after the game.
Man. And what did the owner say to you?
Well, you talk about having your heart stop. Yeah. It's more than just you now. Now it's, we're going to cost our owner money. And our owner with the San Francisco 49ers was one of the dearest, greatest, best owners ever, Eddie DiBartolo. And so we had our elder statesman, Guy McIntyre, who had probably been in the league at that point in time, 6 years. Guy, you're in charge. You're going to go talk to Mr. D and ask him what he thought. And God bless him. He goes, I love it, you guys. You keep praying. Don't worry about me.
Wow.
And so you talk about giving some guys some confidence. And I think the league just felt it was getting too big and too out of their control. And it became a thing in the NFL, Stuart. And most exciting, a year or two later, all of a sudden, I'd see a few college games and kids were on the field praying with the other team after the game. And I couldn't believe it. And it spread like wildfire throughout the colleges. And then all of a sudden you're having high schools pray after games.
Yeah.
And all these years later, it's amazing because I've had a lot of people, you know, say, hey, where did that even start? And for one of the few things in life, I actually have the answer. I know it because I was there and I witnessed it. And it's very, very special to have it captured in a photo. But to think that was 30 years ago was quite remarkable.
Many people might ask, why was prayer so important to you that you would risk your money, your reputation, possibly your career to continue that? Why was it that pivotal to you?
Well, I think the guys in that picture and subsequently a lot of guys around the league knew that first and foremost, their faith came first, and that they just felt like they've been given an opportunity to be blessed by playing in the National Football League, and they just wanted to honor God. And that became above man at the time. And that meant the NFL or coaches or what have you. And to be quite honest, it was pretty well received across the league, coaches, players. I mean, maybe not initially, but eventually I think people said, okay, hey, that's a good thing. That's a good thing for our players and for our league and what have you.
A good example for young people all over America, frankly.
Absolutely. But it's funny because people don't even think about it now, but it was stressful back then. There was a lot of fear in the room, let me say, more than a few times at a few of those early games.
I bet. Hey, now, the reason we connected with you, and I'm so grateful that you made time to be with us today here on First Liberty Live, you sent us a kind note. You had seen an appearance by our client, Joe Kennedy, who is a high school football coach who was fired for saying a 15-second silent prayer on the 50-yard line at his high school in Washington State. We've written up a letter of support for Joe. And Brent, we'd like you to be the first person to sign this new letter of support expressing your encouragement to Joe Kennedy. And we're also going to make that something that people who are watching can do as well. So I hear you got the letter there. Grab your pen.
Stuart, I was blown away, and what a great honor. And I have the letter right here. I have my pen next to me, and I'm just thrilled to be able to be the first one to sign in support of Coach Joe, and what a strong man he is, and what a great, great leader of young men he is. And I'm just thrilled to be associated with him and to be able to be a part of this.
Yeah. And guess who's here? There's Joe Kennedy.
Holy smokes. That's a big surprise. You guys are surprising me. Coach
Joe. We did not tell Brent this was going to happen.
I am doing great. What an honor it is to meet you and to have you on. And I just think so much of you, Coach, and I knew of your story, had followed it a few times. And then just ironically in the last few weeks, it had come up again, and I reached out to Liberty and I had the nicest response. And I just wanted them to know that that I want to support you as well as a man, as a Christian, and as a leader of young folks in our society. And just want to thank you so much for taking the stand that you've taken.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, this is, my heart's actually beating. I've done a bunch of interviews before, and I'm like, here's, you know, the NFL guy, you were the ones that I probably got the, you know, whole praying on the 50-yard line from. So it's just amazing that I'm sitting here talking to an NFL player, you know, Super Bowl, you're a legend. My kids are freaking out over it. Both my boys are like, you got to get his autograph. I was like, well, one thing at a time. Let me just meet the guy first.
That's great, Joe. You know, it's nice when you're old and people still want your autograph, but you can have whatever you want, buddy.
I appreciate that. My kids will really appreciate that. They'll actually watch this video now.
Very good.
Hey, I want to give both of you an opportunity to say some encouragement to other coaches and people in the public sector who may want to be able to express their faith freely. Brent, we'll let you go first. What would you say to them as a word of encouragement?
Well, you know, Stuart, I think just honoring God above man, and God has a plan for each and every one of us, and all things work together for good for those that follow the Lord, and you know that really is the highest of all callings. And so I just want to give encouragement to stand your ground and kneel in prayer. It's one of the greatest things that we have here.
All right, Joe, what would you say?
You know, how do you top that? But, you know, living in faith is something that's really huge to me, and it does get scary. And when you have to stand on the only thing you have is your faith, when the world seems to be crumbling around you, you got to be able to just, you know, just like in the games that you play, you know, out there on the football field, it gets tough. You know, things hurt. It's never going to go your way. So during those times, you got to have the faith, and you got to have the courage to stand or kneel and just live out your faith. And, you know, I mean, you see what God did for us. He gave us life. Least we could do is thank them for it.
Very good. Hey, it is so great to have both of you on today. We're going to let you chat a little bit after we're done here off the program and let you have a moment there. But before we wrap up, I just wanted to give you who are watching an opportunity to sign this letter. Many people have already been offering words of encouragement through our social media. And Joe, you'll want to listen in on this. These are a couple of comments we've gotten. One is, Dear Coach Kennedy, I sincerely thank you for your service to this country. Thank you for fighting for our religious freedoms. Nothing you did was wrong, and I'm praying that the courts will rule in your favor. God bless you. And that's signed by Katie. And then another comment that we got says, keep up the good fight, Coach, and thank you for your service. And that's from Brian. If you would like to sign a letter of support for Coach Kennedy, and we made it also so you can write your own personal note along with that, just look for the link under this video. Click on that. You'll be able to sign the letter of support that we've penned. And if you just want to sign that, that's fine. But also, if you'd like to add a personal word of encouragement, we encourage you to do that if you choose to. And you can add that. And we'll send all of these along to Joe Kennedy so that he can hear directly from you, from people all across America who are supportive of his kneeling in a stand for prayer. In our next episode, by the way, we'll be talking with attorney Hiram Sasser about all the threats of court packing that we're hearing in the news, and we're going to unpack that for you. But for now, that's our conversation today. I'm Stuart Shepherd, and thank you for being part of First Liberty Live.